हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रकुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ शं नो मित्रशं वरुणः शं नो भवत्वर्यमा शं न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शं नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतो तद्वक्तारमवतो अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.
So here, where we finish this upasanam, pranavopasanam, we'll read that and then we can go to the new one.
Om iti brahma, om iti brahma, om iti dagam sarvam, om iti dagam sarvam, om iti tadanukriti. ओमित्येतदनुकृते हस्मवा अप्योश्रावयेत्याश्रावयन्ति श्रावयेत्याश्रावयन्ति ओमिति सामानि गायन्ति ओमिति सामानि गायन्ति ओगुं शोमिति ओगं शोमिति शस्त्राणि शगं सन्ति शस्त्राणि शगं सन्ति ओमित्यध्वर्युः प्रतिगरम् ओमित्यध्वर्युः प्रतिगरम् प्रतिगृणाति ओमिति ब्रह्मा प्रसौति ओमिति ब्रह्मा प्रसौति ओमित्यग्निहोत्रमनुजानाति ओमित्यग्निहोत्रमनुजानाति ओमिति ओमिति ब्राह्मणः प्रवक्षन्नाह ब्राह्मणः प्रवक्षन्नाह ब्रह्मोपाप्नवानीति ब्रह्मोपाप्नवानीति ब्रह्मैवोपाप्नोति ब्रह्मैवोपाप्नोति.
सो द लास्ट सेंटेंस वी आर सीइंग ओम इति ब्राह्मणः प्रवक्षन् आह ब्रह्म उपाप्नवानि इति. देयर द वर्ड ब्राह्मणः मीन्स द वन who studies Veda. The Vedic student is called Brahmanaha. Why? Because Veda is called Brahma. The word Brahma, one of the meanings of the word Brahma is what? Vedaha. Veda is called Brahma. Why? Subject matter of the Veda is the absolute reality Brahman. Therefore, Veda is also called Brahma. Subject matter of Veda is Ishwaraha, the Lord, the whole, therefore Veda is called Brahma. And then this Brahma, one who studies the Veda, is called Brahmanaha. And this Brahmanaha, this student of Veda, and when he begins to study, and before he begins his study, he says, Om. And then what does he say? Saying Om, what does he pray for? Brahma Upapnavani. He begins his Vedic study, before initiating the study of Veda, he says Omkara, in order to ward off the obstacle in studying the Veda, because Om is a sound symbol of the Lord. And then what is he? Brahma Upapnavani. Oh Lord, may I have the Veda. May have Veda means what? May have the knowledge of the Veda. There are two types of learning is there. Adhyayanam means studying, the chanting of Veda is called Veda Adhyayanam. Just studying the Vedic chanting alone is called Veda Adhyayanam. And seeing the analyzing the Veda mantras, knowing the meaning of Veda mantras is called Mimamsa. Analytical study of the Veda mantras is called Mimamsa. So, this student who studies the Veda, may I have, what now? The knowledge of the Veda. May study the Veda thoroughly, may memorize the Veda thoroughly, and may also have, what now? The thorough knowledge of the Veda mantras. When he says, as a prayer, O Lord, may I have the thorough knowledge of Veda mantras, means may study, may memorize the entire Veda, may also have the meaning of the Veda mantras. That's what he says. And for which, what does he say before he begins? Om. And thereafter, and he says, suppose if a person, yes or no, so using Omkara, uttering the Omkara before he starts his, before he begins to study his Veda, study the Veda, and he says, then what happens now? He also attains the Vedic wisdom. Brahma upapnoti eva. He definitely attains Vedic wisdom. That means what? His prayer becomes fulfilled. His prayer of wanting to study the entire Veda thoroughly becomes fulfilled. How? Because he begins his study with utterance of Omkara. Brahma upapnavani iti. So the whole upanuvakaha, even though it talks about the Brahma, you say upama upasanam is the topic here. What do you have? The whole anuvaka actually only we find the glorification of Omkara. So by glorifying Omkara, what does the anuvaka tell you here? Therefore, what now? The Omkara is highly glorified, and meditation upon Omkara also is what now? Really glorifiable. It really, this is all glorification. It will bless you with the fulfillment of all your prayers. I mean, prayers means what? It will bless you with the fulfillment of whatever it should bless you with. So, Omkara Upasanam is glorified through the glorification of very Omkara itself. So, what is implied here? It doesn't teach any meditation here. Therefore, may you meditate upon Omkaraha. That is the lesson. Okay? But before you go there, I just want to tell you a little bit about Omkara. Because no meditation is mentioned here, I want to tell you. See, Om is called, Om is called name. Name of the Lord. Why it is the name of the Lord? A word, Om is a term, a word, which is the name of the Lord, the whole. Any word and every word has the capacity to indicate only one given object. Which you have seen last class also. Actually, I want to tell it to you again today. A word can indicate only one given object. A word cannot indicate more than one object. A word cannot indicate more than one aspect of an object also. So even if you take this mic, in the mic itself you cannot say only one part forms it. So many parts put together becomes what now? One object. Every object here is a composition of many parts. Every part has a name. Therefore, a word can indicate only one object means what? Only one aspect. It cannot indicate everything. That's a limitation of the word. And here, who is Bhagavan here? Ishvara, when you say, all the objects put together is Ishvara, the whole cosmos means. What is this whole cosmos? Now, we have gross objects, and you have subtle objects, and you have the what now? potential, all these subtle and gross manifest objects in potential condition also. All the objects put together is Ishvara here, the Lord. Therefore, one word which can indicate, which can stand for, which can, all the words, all the objects together is what? Omkaraha. Okay. Therefore, we say Pranavaha, and then that is why Omkaraha is an appropriate name for the Lord, exemplary name for the Lord. Because when you say Nu, it is, that's why it's called Pranavaha. There is a root Nu, Nukara, Nu. Nu means to name. And from that you get the word Navaha. Navaha means a name. How you get, you have another word called Nama. Nama means what? Name. Nama means name. Nama is equal to name. And then Nama, one word, and another word also to have the word, to mean the word name, Navaha. Any word can be a Navaha. Chair is a Navaha, a word which indicates this object. Like Rupal is a name, Navaha. Nama, name, and Navaha. Navaha also another word. Nuyate anena iti Navaha. That by which something is arrived at is called Navaha. Navaha means name, a word that by a name by which something or someone or somebody is arrived at, understood. That's what is called Navaha. Nuyate anena iti Navaha. So any name is what? Navaha. Any word is Navaha. But here Pranavaha, when you say the pra comes, na becomes, the dental nakara becomes cerebral nakara. Pranavaha. Na becomes na. Pranavaha. Prana prakarshena nuyate anena iti pranavaha. That by which something is arrived at, isn't it? Very uniquely arrived at. What is what? Not something. The whole is arrived at. That by which something is arrived at is called navaha. That special word, a unique word, by which the whole is arrived at is what now? Pranavaha. They say pra. Pra is a prefix added to navaha, pranavaha. Prakarshena nuyate sarvam. The whole is called pranavaha. And I told you already how Omkara becomes a pranavaha, an exemplary word, a term for Bhagavan, the whole. One word which indicates the whole. All the padarthas, all the objects. So he says, Akaraha stands for, listen to me carefully, Akaraha stands for the gross manifestation. The gross manifestation is Ishvara, the Lord. Gross manifestation, what is gross manifestation? The Lord. Therefore, gross manifestation is the Lord. And what is the name of, name given to the Lord as the one who is manifest as the gross universe? Virat. Virat. So, Akaraha stands for Virat, the gross manifestation. Ukaraha stands for the subtle manifestation, Hiranyagarbha. Makaraha stands for unmanifest universe. Makaraha stands for unmanifest universe. Ishwaraha or Antaryami. Remember these three words. Virat, all after wedding, all of you are very tired. So let me make a small class, short at least. Anyway, so Akaraha stands for Virat, Ukaraha stands for Hiranyagarbha, and Makaraha stands for Antaryami or Ishwaraha. What are these three? Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Ishwaraha are three different names given to the only Lord. The functional names. Virat, the gross manifestation. Hiranyagarbha, subtle universe. Unmanifest universe in potential condition is what? Antaryami. So, Akara, Ukara, Makara stands for what? All the three manifestations. Unmanifest and the twofold manifestations. And here, this is the, we understand here, the Ukara, the Isha, the Lord also, what now, Lord has two aspects. Lord has two aspects. What are the two aspects? One aspect of the Lord is what now, you see the Omkara also has two aspects. Omkara has two aspects. The Pranavaha has two aspects. The Isha, the Lord also has two aspects. Omkaraha has, before the utterance of the Omkara, every time you begin to utter Omkara, Om, 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 Om. Before the utterance begins, what is there is silence. When the Omkara ends also, silence. Omkara begins, before the beginning of Omkara, there is silence. When the Omkara ends, there is silence. So the silence which precedes and follows the utterance of Omkara also should be considered, taken as an aspect of Omkara. Okay? The silence before the beginning, to utter Omkara. Before the utterance of Omkara, there is silence. And after concluding the utterance of Omkara, also there is silence. The silence which precedes and follows the utterance of Omkara should be considered, should be taken as an aspect of Omkara. That is one aspect of Omkara. So silence is the one, silence is one aspect of Omkara. Then this, then sound, Om, that sound, that akara, ukara, makara together constitute what? Om. That is sound aspect of Omkara. There is silence aspect, sound aspect. Silence aspect, sound aspect. Okay? And where is the silence? Before the sound aspect, there is silence. After the sound aspect, also there is silence. The sound aspect and the silence aspect of Omkara. Omkara has two aspects. Similarly, Lord also, what now we say, when you say Lord, Ishvara, two aspects. Nirgunam Brahma and Sagunam Brahma. The pure consciousness is Nirgunam Brahma. The attributeless, isn't it? The pure consciousness is one aspect of the Lord. One aspect of the Lord is pure consciousness, which is otherwise called Nirgunam Brahma. And Maya, the subtlest power, subtlest matter, the Maya Shaktihi is what? Another aspect of Brahman. So with the Maya, Brahman is what? Sagunam Brahma or Ishwaraha. Without the Maya Shakti, Brahman is pure consciousness. Isn't it? Pure consciousness with Maya consciousness plus Maya is equal to what? Sagunam Brahma. So here, the pure consciousness, so the silence aspect of Omkaraha stands for or represents, symbolizes pure consciousness. Silence stands for what now? Pure consciousness. Is it clear? Why silence stands for consciousness? Because consciousness is the nature of consciousness. Reality is consciousness. Consciousness does not make any noise, does not speak, does not do any action. It does not. Consciousness is of the nature of silence. Should never say consciousness is silent. Consciousness is of the nature of silence. Why? It is of the nature of changelessness. It is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, the silence aspect of Omkara represents what now? Pure consciousness. One aspect of Ishvara. And consciousness with Maya, the matter, is what now? With the matter alone, what now? Consciousness is become Sagunam Brahma or Ishwaraha. Sagunam means with Maya Sagunam, without Maya Nirgunam. With Maya Ishwaraha, the Lordship comes. Without Maya, pure consciousness. So, Ishvara has two aspects, pure consciousness and Maya. And here also, Omkara has two aspects, silence part and sound part. So, silent part stands for pure consciousness. But the sound part of Omkara stands for Maya. Sorry, Sagunam Brahma. Sound part stands for Sagunam. Sound part stands for Ishvara, Sagunam Brahma. Or you can say just the Maya. Maya aspect of Ishvara. And here what is that which is, now what is this Maya? Unmanifest is what? Unmanifest also is pure matter. Unmanifest means what? Matter unmanifest also is not outside of consciousness. Matter, the pure matter is also not outside of consciousness. And the matter, when it is manifest as a subtle universe also, it is not outside of consciousness. Matter as a gross manifestation also, manifest universe also is not outside of consciousness. Okay. So, when the whole universe is manifest as, Maya is manifest as the universe. So Maya becoming manifest as the universe is called what? Creation. The whole universe, when it becomes resolved, becomes unmanifest also, and becomes unmanifest as what? Maya. So it's a constant. There is no such thing called destruction at all. Therefore, this Maya has no beginning, the matter has no beginning, the material universe also is not destroyed totally. What happens is, the nature of the matter is such that it becomes manifest, undergoes a change to become manifest as what now? To become the universe. Again, universe, there's a time universe resolves, it becomes what? Maya. And the unmanifest universe is matter. Manifest matter is universe. Is it clear now? Unmanifest universe is pure matter. The matter manifest is what? Universe. Therefore, what is this universe? Material. That's why we give so gross manifestation also is what now? Manifestation of matter only. Subtle manifestation also, manifestation of matter only. And the subtle and the gross universe, both are unmanifest also. What is there is matter, which is called Maya. Okay, therefore, this matter as unmanifest universe, unmanifest as Maya or manifest as universe is not outside of consciousness. Is it clear now? Therefore, with the Maya alone, it becomes what now? Sagunam. The Lord becomes Sagunam Brahma. Why? With the Maya. Saguna. Therefore, the Akaraha stands for, look at this now. Akaraha, the sound aspect of Omkaraha stands for Sagunam Brahma. Okay? The silence aspect of Omkara stands for Nirguna Brahma, conscious, pure consciousness. pure consciousness and this Ishvara, Maya. So what is this? It's the Akara stands for Sthula Prapanchaha, grass universe. There is Sthula, when consciousness with Sthula Prapanchaha, when you say what now? Sthula becomes the Gunaha. No? The grass becomes the Gunaha. Then consciousness with Sukshma Prapancha is a Sukshma Gunaha. So here this Virat has Sthula Gunaha, Hiranyagarbha has Sukshma Gunaha, and then Maya also is what now? Karana Gunaha. Causal Guna. Isn't it? Three Gunas now. Three Gunas means this is a different way. Sthula Gunaha, Sukshma Gunaha, and Karana Gunaha. Guna means it becomes added, no? Therefore, Akara, Ukara, Makara, the sound aspect stand for Maya, one aspect of Ishvara, the Lord. So, the Lord, when you call Lord, consciousness plus Maya is equal to Lord, Ishvara. Without Maya, there is no Lordship, only consciousness. But you have to account for Maya. Matter is there. But you don't consider matter as an independent reality, not a parallel reality. You call it, that's why we give the name Mithya. Two orders of the same reality, Mithya. The matter. Is it clear now? Therefore, that's why now when you talk about it, what are you doing? When I'm talking like this, what are you doing? You are seeing the meaning of Omkara. When you really see that, you will understand. Okay? Now I'm just, because this, only if you know the meaning of the Omkara, enquiry into the meaning of Omkara becomes what? Omkara Upasana. Is it? There's no such thing called something in front of you and seeing. So you have to remove both the aspects of Omkara. So Omkara stands for Saguna aspect of Ishvara, Nirguna aspect of Ishvara. They're not Sarguna, actually, the Maya aspect of Ishvara, Maya aspect of Ishvara and consciousness aspect of Ishvara, there is a Saguna aspect, okay? Both aspects together constitute what? Ishvara, the Lord. Therefore, what happens now? This Omkara is one word by which the whole Bhagavan, the whole, is arrived at. Therefore, Omkara is what now? Prakarshena noyate anena iti pranavaha. The Omkara is an exemplary, an appropriate name for the Lord, the whole. Have you got it? It's very important if I want to understand correctly. See, Ishwaraha, the Lord, when you say Sagunam Brahma. We are not talking about Nirgunam Brahma at all. Ishwaraha, when you say the Lord, when you say, we are talking about what now? Lord, Sagunam Brahma only, not Nirgunam Brahma. Lord means Sagunam Brahma. Lord is not Nirgunam Brahma. Okay? Lord means Sagunam Brahma. And Sagunam Brahma means what now? Ishvara means it has two aspects. What are two aspects? Consciousness aspect, Maya aspect. And Omkara also has two aspects. So silence aspect of Omkara stands for consciousness aspect of the Lord. And the sound aspect of Omkara stands for Maya aspect of the Lord. Therefore, Omkara represents what? Omkara represents Lord the whole means Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Antaryami. Omkara represents all the three Murtis. And so now, Omkara stands for three functional names of the Lord. Virat, Om, when you say Om stands for Virat, Om stands for Hiranyagarbha, Om stands for Antaryami Ishwaraha. Mummurthikalin kurikkira ore sol. One word which stands for all Trimurthis. In our Puranic language, we call Mahavishnu, Shivaha, and four-headed Brahma. They personified. These three forms personified become what now? Virat personified is what? Mahavishnu. And he sits with whom? There, Mahavishnu represents consciousness aspect. And Mahalakshmi represents the grass manifest, the Maya aspect. Not Maya, I should say Maya, matter aspect. And that's why, and then the total manifestation is what now? Virat, Mahavishnu, Mahalakshmi. And a highly gorgeously dressed. That's why she wears all forms of jewelry. I want to understand the connection. Why Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu, Lakshmi are highly, with all pomp and glamour and highly dressed. That is why when you go to the wedding also, in Indian wedding, you're supposed to see bride and the bridegroom as Mahavishnu and Mahalakshmi. Satyam. When we go to the wedding, and they'll give you flowers, and they'll give you akshata, the unbroken, the yellow rice made with the ghee. Yellow rice they'll give you. Supposed to hold the rice and the akshata, the flowers with you in your hand. And then you have to be sitting. The bride and the bridegroom are brought to this place. The manavara, we call it, the stage. And there, what do you do? When they come and sit, and they both of them, so very, very good day for both of them. They become, think of this today, this couple also. I didn't see much, but actually little bit I saw her. And I didn't see the whole thing and all. But still I say, how you look at it? Indian marriage, I say. And both girl and boy, we don't see them as this boy and girl. No. They both are what now? The prime of youth, full of energy, and then they both are well-decked, also very well-decorated. And we look at this what now? You cannot have a better word than to describe them, to feel your, to express your congratulations and to happiness also. Sakshat Mahavishnu Mahalakshmi we say. You're supposed to see them as Mahavishnu Mahalakshmi. Then we pray, we invoke Bhagavan Mahavishnu Mahalakshmi, Virat in these two, bride and the bridegroom. Then we worship the Lord. In them you invoke Bhagavan and you worship them. Then you don't see them as bride and bridegroom. Mahavishnu, Mahalakshmi. Then you pray. Then with the prayer, you pray to say Mahavishnu, Mahalakshmi to bless these children, the couple, with all that they need to have in their lives. Then you put the akshata and then you bless them with the akshata and flowers. How nice. All the blessings go, carry. Now you're expecting to, at least somebody goes and bless them. All the such a big crowd, imagine all of them wish the couple, may these two couple live forever and then bring nice 11, 12 sons to bring this to protect England from all the other non-English invasions. I wish that they do that. I really wish that. I went for a few seconds, but I was thinking. All of them should bless, all the English people should really bless today. Even if you haven't done it, please bless them. Go home and pray for them. Really, you're interested in preserving the native English culture. Every culture has its own beauty to have it preserved. There should not be any divorce and then going away. No. Please bless them. So, this is one thing. Okay, Mahavishnu, Mahalakshmi. And then the Puranic language presents, because they're all asleep, I'm telling a story today, okay? And then the Puranic, if you go to this Hiranyagarbha again, what now? You never see the subtle universe also, what now? We say Puranic language presents Hiranyagarbha, na Brahma, the four-headed Brahma. Why four heads? All knowledge. Brahma, subtle manifestation represents what now? All total knowledge. One head is not enough. That's why each head stands for one Veda. One Veda stands for total, all knowledge, isn't it? Brahma. So the Brahma, four-headed Brahma represents consciousness aspect of Ishvara. And Saraswati, the power of learning, the power of intellection, This is what now? Saraswati, goddess of learning, represents what? The matter aspect of Lord. You know, the power of intellection, the matter aspect of the Lord. And when you say all the whole gross, and then it's because subtle means what? You cannot see the power of intellection. You cannot see, isn't it? You cannot see even very subtle. That is why there's no, actually we do not have as many temples as for Brahma and Saraswati as we have for Mahavishnu, Mahalakshmi. Because subtle. Have you seen any Saraswati temple in London or in anywhere else? You see lots of Mahavishnu, Mahalakshmi temples everywhere. Even in India, you don't have big many temples for Brahma and Saraswati. Because subtle. And Virat represents everything, stands for everything. And when this soul, gross and subtle universe resolve, where is the universe? Universe is an unmanifest condition. Universe is resolved as Maya. Where is Maya? The matter, not outside of consciousness. Then it is inseparably, undifferentiatedly, it is one with consciousness, isn't it? Then what do we call it? It's Antaryami. Antaryami or Ishwaraha, in Puranic language we call Shivaha. So there again, Shivaha stands for consciousness aspect of the Lord, and Parvati stands for what now? Matter aspect of the Lord. Is it clear now? So never ever the matter is separate from consciousness, because in fact matter has no independent existence at all. Even that's why it's not a parallel reality. It is never counted as a second thing. Yesterday also we saw a Tathavodha class, but I'm telling it today because this Omkara is the topic here, isn't it? We had to talk about two aspects of Omkara. How can you dwell upon the meaning of Omkara if you do not understand this? One of the meanings I'm giving. See, pure consciousness you can never conceive. Okay? See, consciousness itself is what? Consciousness you can understand cognitively. You can cognitively separate consciousness from the matter. But not physical separation of consciousness and the matter is not possible. And matter without the consciousness is, okay, will be non-existent. But still you have to understand here. So Ishwaraha, the Lord, when you say the whole. The whole stands for what? The two aspects. One is Satyam, one is Mithya. The two orders of the same only reality, we say. Ishwara. Is it clear what I'm saying? This is what this each becomes what a guna. In Virat, Sthulaha becomes the guna. In Hiranyagarbha, Sukshma becomes the guna. As a Hiranyagarbha, Garbha. And Antaryami, Karna becomes the guna. Saguna. With aspects, isn't it? Without material aspect, pure consciousness. With, what now? Saguna, Ishwara. And Omkaraha represents all the three. Akara stands for Vishnu, Ukara stands for Brahma, Makara stands for Shiva. Shiva means what now? With Shakti. And without the Shakti, therefore what now? Pure consciousness means what now? Before the utterance of Omkara, the silence stands for pure consciousness aspect. The sound aspect of Omkara stands for this matter aspect of Ishwara. Is it clear now? Therefore, we say here, this Omkaraha this Omkara is Pranavaha. The pra prefix, it is not an ordinary word, an ordinary name indicating one object. Therefore, it's not Navaha, but Prakrishena, no, because it's very specially, uniquely, it stands for the whole. Therefore, Pranavaha. This is the meaning of the word Pranavaha. Pranavaha means what now? A unique exemplary name of the Lord, the whole. A word which indicates all the objects. Therefore, may one meditate upon Omkaraha. The whole book doesn't say, the Anuvaka doesn't say much about Omkara. It only glorifies Omkara. Now you know Om. Then, so Upanishad now has in this Sikshavalli introduced what, not introduced, actually has covered five different meditations, five upasanas. Do you remember all the five upasanas? Let us remember once again. Samhita upasanam, Vyakhriti upasanam, Hiranyagarbha upasanam, Pankta Brahma upasanam, Pranava upasanam. Five upasanams it has covered. And then I have really done all these upasanams properly here, not with the intention of making you all practice this meditation, but with the intention of making you exposed to how and what Vedic meditations are. To understand, understand what Vedic meditations are, how Vedic meditations are, I wanted to really, absolutely for an academic purpose, okay, I want to teach you these meditations. These meditations are not that easy for you to practice. The Omkara upasana is different. What I told you is different, isn't it? This for your enhancement, I just told you. Understanding of the word Omkara, I just told you. Otherwise, these meditations, it's not easy for you to practice. But for which we have substitute meditations. So when you can meditate upon any Ishta Devata, or you can, there are verses which give you the beautiful meaning, the description of the Murti which you are worshipping, and you can take them for your meditation. That's why in any stotram you read, there is a dhyana shloka. Every stotram has a dhyana shloka. Dhyana shloka means you have to see the meaning of the dhyana shloka and meditate upon the meaning of the meanings. And then whatever you are doing, a mantra japa, nama japa, that is enough for your meditation. That is why japaha is always chosen as the best means of meditation. If you have mantra japa already, almost all of you got mantras for japa, and you can do the mantra japa itself is good meditation. With focus attention, you do that, this itself is an excellent meditation. A substitute. It's not a must, you should do that. Japa itself, if you know the importance and significance of meditation, and manasa japa is meditation. So you can do that. Okay? So, having discussed this discipline, I told you the Sikshavalli discusses mainly the preparatory disciplines. Preparatory disciplines means what? Disciplines that are to be followed, which serve as a means of preparation of the mind for knowledge. That way, upasanam, meditation, is the mental discipline. Okay, and now upasana is the same Upanishad is introducing now other discipline, name of karma, performance of an action, isn't it? Karma. So here in the next Anuvaka, Upanishad is emphasizing, the importance of swadhyayaha and pravachanam, and also other disciplines. Other disciplines, it is emphasizing. The karma is performed, the physical discipline, physical oral disciplines. See, for mental steadiness, one can practice meditation. For antakarna, mental purity, also meditation serves as a means. But here, the living a life of karma yoga is another discipline for mental purity. Another discipline is a very important discipline for gaining mental purity. And living a life of karma yoga also implies what? Following pancha mahayajnas in one's life. Pancha mahayajnas means what? Fivefold worship. Worship pancha mahayajnaha. Yajnaha literally means a fire performance of a fire ritual, which is a worship. Yajana karma. Yajana kriya. But here pancha mahayajnaha, I already talked to you. I can still tell you here. You know, every householder, in fact, every karma yogi has to follow this fivefold pancha mahayajnaha. And what are they? Deva yajnaha. Remember those things? I taught you earlier. I'm repeating today. Deva yajnaha. Deva yajnaha means daily worship of the Lord. Okay? Daily worship of the Lord. And for different needs, for emotionally we have different needs and different purposes. Therefore, we can invoke the Lord also in different forms with the different names. Very flexible. Pluralism is good in a way. For a given purpose, for a given thing, you are worshipping, invoking the grace of the Lord. If you know karma as ineffective, any karma is effective. You should know that law of karma works. Prayer is a karma, it will be effective. So you can invoke the Lord in any form with any name and for a given purpose. This is why there's very flexible also here. Different devatas you can invoke. For a given purpose, okay, some problem is with the eyes. I hold on to what now? Okay, let me invoke the grace of Lord in the form of sun, because sun is the total seeing power. No problem. Even invoking the sun, grace of sun, you're invoking Bhagavan the whole. There, murti, like that, we have special needs. And special prayers, we can invoke the grace of Lord in given form. That's a different thing. But anyway, Deva Yajna is a daily worship. Daily worship means being living an alertful, a conscious life. Wherein I do acknowledge that my life is supported, actually, at the mercy of the contribution of the natural phenomena. Nothing I can create myself. I'm totally dependent on the contribution of devatas. I acknowledge this. I remember this fact. I don't forget. Don't take it for granted. I constantly remember this fact. I acknowledge the contribution of devatas for my well-being. Therefore, I express my gratitude. Therefore, nitya puja, daily worship, daily prayer is what now? Deva yajnaha. This is a discipline. Panchamaha yajnas, following panchamaha yajnas itself is great discipline. Deva yajnaha. Pitru yajnaha, ancestral worship. Ancestral worship does not mean only who have to worship only those who are not in there anymore. I tell you, we have to look after our parents until the last breath, if possible, to the extent possible. If not possible, it's a different thing. Mother and father, you know, Pitru Yajna means we think only of, okay, I have to only worship and they go away. That people have the problem in India also. You are grateful to them even after they go away. That is why this Pitru Karma, Pitru Yajna means, Pitru Yajna also is worship of ancestors. Worship of ancestors is again what now? Worship of the Lord only. However, we don't just see the form alone, isn't it? Worship of ancestors also sort of expressing our gratitude to them. So, Pitru Yajna, because it will remind you of the everything, all that you enjoyed with them and all that. Not to get emotionally entangled, but really to grow, which for growth. So, Pitru Yajna, ancestral worship. Okay, not this, not daily karma, naimittikam karma, once in a while you had to do this, not every day. The Deva Yajna is a nitya karma. And Pitru Yajna is occasionally done worships. People who are departed souls, we always think of them. Okay. Pitru Yajna. Then Manushya Yajna. Manushya Yajna means doing the needful for the fellow beings, human beings. Whatever is possible, you don't need to go out of the way to help your own fellow beings. Do the needful, whatever is possible within your limits to helping our fellow beings, human beings. So Manushya Yajna. And then Bhuta Yajna, I want to finish it quickly. So Bhuta, I'm repeating it. I know you all know this very well already. So I'm not elaborating on this. I'm briefly presenting it quickly. I'm sure you don't feel bored with my repetition. If I ask you all the five to tell me, if you can tell, I won't continue. So this Bhuta Yajna means actually this worship of. See, if you not harming any other living being, not causing any wound or hurt to any other living being, not only human beings, and also if possible, look after them. If not possible, at least not doing any harm to the other living beings. And also thinking of the well-being of other living beings also. Being conscious of the well-being of other beings, living beings. Is what now? Bhuta Yajna. You know, I told you earlier, in Indian houses, we used to use this, even the Rangoli. We used to put this column. Not with any, we only use this rice flour. You know why? The tiniest ant can come and take the granule and go for it. It's a food. We feed crows, we feed cows, and they feed, we don't go and feed tigers and Don't ask. Oh, Bhuta Yajna means you have to go and feed tigers and lions also. They will take us as food. We don't need to offer food. They'll come and just take us. So don't know, go to them. All this domestic, okay? I mean harmless and simple. That's the culture. Why? Because in India we can put all this here. We don't even know that. No? Only Pacharasimha we used to put because Bhuta Yajna. I'm not doing any out of the way. Don't go to any big yajna. Not our thing. Just giving food, to feeding these animals which do not have food. You can't go out searching for food. I can go and find some food or not. And not only cats, not only dogs. People take only dogs and cats here. They don't mind eating fish and then eating, thing. But they don't want to take only. They're so attached to the dogs and cats. No, not harming. I'm not saying to anything big. Not consciously, not trying not to hurt any other living being is also what a Bhuta Yajna. Then Brahma Yajna or Rishi Yajna is the fifth one. I can elaborate on every Yajna. But I'm not doing it because it's not a topic matter of the lesson here. Okay, I'm just doing it because I had to introduce to you what now. I had to go into a new topic. That's why I'm talking about all these things. Brahma Yajna means what? Rishi Yajna or Brahma Yajna? See, study of the Vedas. See, those days, people had their own, at least one has studied at least one Veda. Well, Swadhyayanam. Swadhyayaha means studying one's own Veda, and every day one study, one has to recite, learn to recite the Veda mantras. Swadhyaya. The study of Vedas, and not only study of Vedas, just in studying Vedanta Shastram also, sparing some time definitely for study of the scriptures. You have to spare some time. How you spare time for bath and breakfast and lunch and dinner and your things. Every day you have some time for scriptural study, which is itself is what now. At least every day I study one verse of Bhagavad Gita. At least I read one page of this thing. You know? Just every day sparing some time for studying something and understanding the scriptural study is what now called Brahma Yajna. So these are Panchamaha Yajnas, and every householder, I mean, in fact, one has to follow in life. The one who lives a life Karma Yoga definitely follows these five, Panchamaha Yajnas. And there, the Brahma Yajna, I mean, what now? Study of the Shastras. It's also called Rishi Yajna. I mentioned, study of the Shastras. One doesn't stop with study of the Shastram alone. Once you study, you share your knowledge, you understand. Once you know, you share your knowledge with others also. Studying is called Swadhyaya, and sharing one's knowledge with other people is called Pravachanam. Pravachanam literally means lecturing, speech, isn't it? But sharing one's knowledge is called Pravachanam. And only by Pravachanam, one can pay back one's debts to the rishis. We are somehow obligated to rishis because they have preserved, the parampara has preserved knowledge, and still it is coming down, and still I am able to enjoy this knowledge today. Therefore, I also have the responsibility of handing over it to the following future generation. As I told you earlier, Vedic culture always has great concern for future generation. We live the Vedic way of life, and we really enjoy the benefits of following the Vedic way of life, and we make our lives meaningful and complete, successful life, and whatever wisdom we have got, that wisdom has to be available for the future generation also. That is why they said teaching. Okay? Teaching also is a must. That's why Swadhyaya is all of us know. Pravachanam also is there. Teaching. Swadhyaya is study, one's own study. Pravachana means sharing of one's knowledge. These two. The first, Brahma Yajna means what now? Study also comes under Brahma Yajna, and teaching also comes under Brahma Yajna. If you don't want to teach, supporting the teaching also is what now? Brahma Yajna. And who will support? Those who know the value of this knowledge. People who do not know the value of this, how can they support? Isn't it? So that's okay. Therefore, this particular part now, this Brahma Yajna or Rishi Yajna is highlighted in this, and also other disciplines. Karma Yoga also is highlighted. We'll see that how. In this, let us chant the mantras first. So here, swadhyayaha means study of one's own Veda. Okay, swadhyayaha. And not only one's own Veda, generally swadhyaya means study. And here, the study of the Veda, when you say, it involves two aspects. Adhyayanam, Veda adhyayanam means learning to chant the Veda. Learning the Vedic chanting is called, what now, Adhyayanam. I told you earlier. And it is to learn the Vedic chanting. In Vedic period, there was no book, there was no press, there was no writing, there was nothing as such. The teacher knows everything. The one who plays the role of a teacher, where are the books? His mind is the book. Everything is memorized and kept alive in his knowledge, in his mind. So, what is the way only way to transfer his knowledge to other head is what? Communication. As the teacher has to teach. And the student has to listen and get this, and he has to what now? Memorize everything. That is why in Vedic period, they had to memorize everything first. If you come to the class without the book, you say, I don't have the book, I can't follow. They did not bring the book, okay? They had to come what? The book should be, because memorizing is the first thing in Vedic period. When you teach, explain these things, you should already have it in your memory. The textbook, where did they turn the pages? Not outside. Oh, which is the page I am looking for? Where is Swaminiji reading? We have to turn the pages in our classes, in our period, okay? In Vedic period, there is no turning of pages in the book. They had to switch over what now? Everything has to be turned what only in mind. That is why memorizing is an important thing. They have to study the whole Veda properly from the teacher. Chanting they have to learn and correctly from the teacher, and they have to memorize the whole thing. And the whole Veda will be already in their memory, which itself is a discipline, which would have prepared the mind. See, because when it's a compulsory, like when we were in school, I had to memorize all the mathematical tables. And before until the teacher comes, every member will be shouting. 2 2s are 4, 3 2s are 6, I will be shouting in the class. All had to have everything in memory. See, when we were in second and third standard, even the mathematical tables had to buy what? No. Memorize. Everything must be in memory. Like that, in Vedic period, all the Veda mantras must be studied properly. I'm going to enter it, because why I'm talking about it now? Because it's two lines. The Swadhyayaha Pravachanam. These two are repeated in every sentence. That's why I'm talking about it now. You know, one has to memorize the whole, study the whole Veda and study the chanting properly from the teacher without any mistakes. Why? When the teacher is later on, for him to understand everything, he should know exactly what the teacher says. The pronunciation, the word, the sound, everything he should have learned correctly. It's like when you see the book, the teacher can tell you, there's a print mistake, please correct it. The teacher can tell you here. There, no, that's not possible. So everything has to learn correctly before even he goes for the Mimamsa. What is Mimamsa? Analytical study of the mantras. Why it is not this word? Why this word means only this? Not any other meaning. Properly, logically. Understand everything correctly. Thorough study. For which he should already have the book ready in front of him. Without the book, he cannot follow the explanations, expositions, unfoldments correctly. But where is the book? No printing press, no paper. Where is the book? Memorize. How to memorize? Learn the chanting. Who from whom? From the teacher. So learn the whole Veda month. All the Veda. That is why the Veda Adhyanam begins at the age of 7 itself. Those days. Not ask me nowadays, okay? In India. Whenever convenient, and they'll go, they'll do the ceremony. They won't study. It's called Upanayanam. There's a ceremony called Upanayanam. Do you feel bored with these things, knowing? Do you feel it's unimportant for you to know? It's also important because it's part of the culture. There is a ceremony. It's the way that I want to say. At the age of 7, the child is supposed to be, initiated into the study of the scriptures. And the initiation to study of the scriptures begins with the ritual, with a ceremony, which is called Upanayanam. It's called Yajna Upavita Karma. The boy at the age of 7 is taken and to the teacher to study the Shastram. And the father himself first initiates him into the study of the scriptures by teaching him Gayatri Mantra. The first teacher of the child is taught Gayatri Mantra. It's a Mantra Upadesha. And that is for what? Initiation into the study of this Vedic studies, scriptures. And when at this age of 7, at least before 11, not later than that. And the whole time is for what now? Long way, isn't it? You had why the whole Veda you have to study, 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 memorize, everything should go. And these children from the seventh year onwards, having got initiated into the study Gayatri Mantra Upadesha, study of scriptures, and doing Gayatri Japam every day 3 times, and 3 Sandhyavandanam worshipping also, and they're so innocent and so clean, the mantra japa, the meaning being such, even though they don't know the meaning, they don't need to know the meaning. They chant the mantra, chanting, you can see the tejas, Brahma virtues, bright and lustre. You can see the children, they look so bright. Not them as complexion, I'm saying. You can see they look so, because it all gives lots of strength and it adds its own the tapas that becomes. You can see the children. You saw some children, no? Did you see some children? You didn't come to Coimbatore. So young children, with you can see them chanting and all that. So, supposed to, okay, nowadays I don't know how people are, but once upon a time it was like that. Even now we have Veda parts for the children, but here, like this is Upanayanam. And then when they study, and by the time they're ready for studying the Mimamsa, when they're very young, they're too young to understand, it can't be taught, Mimamsa can't be taught to them. Only memorizing, itself a discipline. You've got a constant swara, varna, as you have seen already. And to concentrate on everything and to study correctly, which is a big discipline. And when they become old enough to understand the meanings, and they would have memorized the whole Veda thoroughly. So this studying the Vedic chanting and having everything memorized is called what now? Adhyayanam. Veda Adhyayanam. And the Mimamsa is what now? Analytical study. Desire to measure is called Mimamsa. Matum Icha Mimamsa. Desire to measure means what? Desire to know through thick and thin, thoroughly, what is the meaning is called the Mimamsa. So this Adhyayanam and Mimamsa together becomes what now? Study of the Veda. Okay, Adhyayanam Swadhyayaha means study of the Veda, which involves both study of the chanting and the Mimamsa, Adhyayanam and Mimamsa together. Swadhyayaha. Once you study, and as I told you, you also share the knowledge with others, which is only through communication. Pravachanam. And why Swadhyaya? Okay, why study of the Veda? Next question comes. Okay, this is what is study of the Veda we understood now. Why should we study the Veda? It's a very, very important thing. Unless and until we study the Veda, we are exposed to the study of the scriptures, we will never be clear about our end being moksha. Our end being knowledge of the truth. End will not be clear. Then we will never know the value of living a life of dharma. That means the purushartha will not be clear. Purushartha nischaya will not be possible. Artha, the kamas alone will be ends. If dharma and moksha will be unknown ends. There is a difference. Any amount of scientific development, technological development, now highly advanced technology is seen all over. Wherever you see all this technological advancement are designed in such a way that they are all meant for what now? Only the enjoyment of pleasures. They design such a way. That is why even after age of 70, 80, 60, 65 also, people are still interested in other things. The dispassion is not there. it should contribute, isn't it? The setup should help one to grow emotionally. Therefore, because why Purusharta Nischaya is not there? If Purusharta Nischaya is there, and it is easy for one, what now? To do, okay, what has to be done at the end when you are Brahmachari, what should be done, you should be doing. As a Grihastha, what should be done? All the stages will understand. What I should do this time, Because the ends are not clear. Artha, kama, dharma, mokshas are not understood means, they're not ends means, artha, kamas alone will be ends. If you do not know moksha being the ultimate end, you do not know the jnanam being the ultimate end, you will never know the value of dharma, then dharma purushartha, moksha purushartha, these two purusharthas will be unknown. If these two purusharthas are not known, what is your end? What is the purpose of living this life? Then artha kamas will be the ends. If artha kamas are the ends, artha kamas become the ends. That is why you do not know. Then the ends are too many. There is no way of really keeping oneself in good humor. Always there will be endless. And for which itself, what now you have, it's very important for one to be exposed to the study of this scripture. If people study philosophy just for the sake of knowledge of the truth, what is the knowledge of the truth for? Must be very clear. What is the knowledge of the truth for is very clear. You know, only then... then the pursuit of knowledge is meaningful. Otherwise, it's just academic. It says again, intellectual pleasure. Pursuit of knowledge is not for intellectual pleasure. It is for the discovery of fullness. A pursuit of knowledge of truth is for academic, just an intellectual pleasure, then there is no purushartha. There is no purushartha. There is no moksha. Therefore, it is very important for one to discern a purushartha. The purpose of living this life is not just artha and kama alone. Accomplish artha kamas alone. Artha has to be pursued. Kama has to be precious, has to be enjoyed. Okay, but definitely in conformity with dharma, not going against dharma. My artha pursuit, kama pursuit should not be at the cost of dharma. Should be in conformity with dharma. Ultimately for accomplishing moksha which is already there. Accomplishing the already accomplished. Even for this understanding, exposure to study of the scripture is very important. Study of shastram is important. Understand? Therefore, Swadhyayaha. Before entering into the text itself, I had to tell you this much. I had to tell lots actually. I just wanted to introduce today at least. And we are going to see other disciplines also. And what are how? So having introduced Upasanams as a mental discipline, preparatory discipline, now Upanishad introduces the other disciplines. Okay, now Karma Yoga, etc. We'll see that. And mainly, Swadhyaya is highlighted here. So, glorification of Swadhyaya, study of the scriptures. Very important, we should know why study of the scriptures. So I'll explain the rest of the things next class. Now we'll just start. We'll do the chanting of it.
Rutancha swadhyaya pravachane cha. Rutancha swadhyaya pravachane cha. Satyancha swadhyaya pravachane cha. Satyancha swadhyaya pravachane cha. Tapascha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Svadhyaya pravachane cha. Damascha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Dhyaya pravachane cha. Shamascha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Agnayascha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Agnihotrancha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Atithayascha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Manushancha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Prajacha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Prajanascha svadhyaya pravachane cha. Prajatischa svadhyaya pravachane cha. Satyamiti satyavacharathitarah. Tapaiti tapo nityah paurushishtih. Svadhyaya pravachane yeveti nako maudgalyah. Taddhitapas taddhitapah. Okay. So, this Swadhyaya Prashamsa, the glorification of Swadhyaya, Vedic scriptural study, study of the scriptures is highlighted, and the study of the scriptural study is the importance of the study of the scriptures is highlighted here, glorified here. So we'll see the whole thing in the next class. It's okay? Because I committed to do some chanting class now. So that's why I'm stopping.